welcome to another edition of the Streaking the Lawn podcast. Once again, my name is Pierce. Caroline's with me tonight. How's it going, Caroline?
Hey.
What's hey. We've got a very exciting special guest as well. Caroline, why don't you introduce our guest?
Yes, I am very excited to have him on the podcast tonight. We're breaking down barriers. We have our first tennis player to join us in UVA alum, three-time national champion, and recent U.S. Open participant, Ty Kwiatkowski. Ty, thanks for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. I guess the easiest thing to kick it off is just, coming off of your experience at the U.S. Open, you knew you were going to be going, obviously, after winning the NCAA singles championship. Congratulations, first and foremost. How do you mentally prepare for something like that? Did you feel ready? What kind of emotions did you have going into something like the U.S. Open, your first big tournament like that?
No, I mean, I was super pumped. Obviously, couldn't have finished my college tennis career much better, and to send out the coaches like that was pretty cool. Obviously, I was definitely nervous, but I was able to play the qualifying event last year, so that definitely helped. Being in New York one time before, because I mean, there's so much going on in Flushing Meadows. Like, the tournament it's pretty insane how many people come to the gates on the first few days to watch all the first few rounds. And I was nervous, but I definitely enjoyed my time there.
How much support did you have? Were your parents able to make it? Was Coach Bolin there? I know JC was also playing in the event, so obviously someone to hang out with, talk to through some of these experiences. But what else was that like? What kind of, like, the crowd? And your match was incredibly exciting. So what was that like on the court?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I was pretty focused on the match. I didn't hear the crowd too much, but I mean, I looked around a couple of times and it was a small court, but it was pretty packed, which was really awesome. And of course, Coach Bolin was there, and our two assistants from last year, Coach Taylor and Coach Banatsky. So that was sweet. And then a few of my teammates that are still in school made the drive up from Seville. So that was like huge effort by them. We had a lot of who's in the house. My parents were there, and a couple alumni there in New York too. So we got some Wahoo Wah chants in there, and I was just pretty pissed because they wouldn't let me wear a Virginia shirt on the court. it was a pretty crazy experience, and yeah, definitely had a lot of Wahoo support up there.
That's awesome. And then I guess it would have been handy to have a UVA shirt, seeing as you guys matched. Was that something you were expecting when you came out to have your opponent in the same outfit?
Yeah, so Adidas has been helped me out before college with apparel and gear, and I hit them up before the Open, and they were really nice to send me some stuff for the Open. And when I went to pick it up in New York, they just mentioned that by the way, your opponent is also, we gave them in the same shirt. You know, like, there's only two or three outfits for every slam, so. They're like, yeah, you're going to be probably matching down to the socks with him. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's tough. And then, we came out looking identical. So
that's awesome.
That's funny.
Was there anyone that you met that you got a little starstruck? Was there anything like that?
A couple times. So I got to hit with Andy Murray during the event, like a couple days before the tournament. He actually ended up not being able to play because of injury, but I got to practice with him. He was really cool, and he's kind of like my idol because I try to play similar to him, so that was really crazy being on court with him. And then just the same as that, is like the locker room at the U.S. Open is, you know, for all the players. So, I mean, seeing Nadal walk around and, like, Federer walk around in the locker room is pretty crazy. I mean, like, these guys are – you only see them on TV, and then, like, to see them – I guess without a shirt in the locker room is pretty cool too.
Go on. No, I'm just kidding. That's awesome though. Yeah, I feel like it's got to be such a crazy experience.
Yeah, but you have to act nonchalant about it. Like, you've been there, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was just like, oh yeah, like, it's not a big deal. It's Fed, you know?
Yeah.
It's whatever.
I'm totally cool. Well, Ty, what's the alums or the current state of the current players in the program, to have Coach Boland, who is so successful, I mean, building this into the premier tennis program in the country, you know, with him moving on to that position, the national squad, what are everybody's thoughts, feelings? What's going on?
Well, first, like, I mean, Brian got it, like, an absolute dream job.
Yeah.
And to be head of USA Men's Tennis, and it's a really tough job, but he's going to do amazing things there, and I definitely think we're going to have some guys in the top 10 here in the world of tennis that are from America in the future.
Nice.
And then as far as our current team, I mean, yeah, losing Coach Boland is really tough, but Andres Pedroso is probably, you know, just as good as Coach Boland, and I think, you know, we're going to have the same success in the program in the future.
Awesome.
We lost, obviously, myself, which is huge loss. But we also lost some other really good players too. So we have a lot of freshmen on the team this year, and I know that Andres is recruiting really hard for the next couple of years to kind of rebuild. But no, I think we're gonna be great. I was just there a couple of days ago, and you know, team looks good. They're working hard, and yeah, hopefully they can keep up the tradition of you know, being a really solid team.
Yeah, if you could do all our Hokie listeners a favor and describe exactly what it's like to win a national championship, because I know they've never, you know, experienced that in any sport. I mean,
yeah, guys. Well, it's a pretty crazy feeling. You guys wouldn't know, but yeah, it's a crazy feeling to be able to hold that trophy. It's actually quite heavy, believe it or not.
Super heavy.
You guys in Blacksburg.
You guys brought one to the trophy.
If you guys ever do win one, yeah, maybe you'll be surprised at how heavy it is. But yeah, good luck with that.
That's amazing.
Just having to build more and more trophy cases has got to be a bit of a burden. But
yeah, I mean, the Boar's Head, where we keep all our trophies, there's only three stands, and I just not really sure what we're gonna do. I guess we're gonna have to add another stand, maybe like tear it down and build a new one. I don't know.
Yeah, an annex for the trophies. So you had three in your 4 years at UVA. Is there one that was sweeter than the others, or one that really stood out? The national if you had to pick your favorite national championship, which one would you pick?
The one that felt the best might have been the first one, because it's the first time holding that trophy, and I honestly didn't feel like we were supposed to win my second year, and we had two really, really tough matches in the semis and finals. So yeah, mm-hmm. 2015 in Waco, Texas was a really good feeling. And then obviously this year in Athens, Georgia was pretty sweet too, because Athens is a really cool place, and University of Georgia is like an insane tennis facility. So to win it there too was quite sweet. But yeah, I mean, they're all special in their own way, for sure.
And having to balance the indoor versus outdoor back and forth on this last one, how does that mess with you, like, mentally, or is the team just ready for whatever? Does that affect big time? I mean, obviously you guys still won, so made it work. But yeah, how much does that affect, especially when the championship came down to, you know, there's two matches going on. If you win one of those, like, you're national champions. Like, how does that change the dynamic from the outdoor tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. I think going forward, I hope the NCAA, like, will put an extra day into the tournament just in case of rain, so maybe they could push it back a day, because the outdoor tournament really should be outdoors. But yeah, obviously they can't control the weather, but I think they should throw an extra day in. But yeah, it definitely does change it a lot. But I think at the same time, we were just a lot more mentally tough throughout the whole year, because we had faced some pretty good adversity over the year in terms of like tough travel schedules and crazy bus rides. Our bus broke down. So, I mean, at the, on different trips, I think our team was just ready for any kind of adversity, and we stayed kind of calm throughout the entire week. And, coach just kept telling us, you know, whatever team can stay mentally tough and stay focused is going to win. And, yeah, in such pressure filled moments, it's just, yeah, who can keep a level head. So, yeah, I think we definitely did that because Carolina was, as much as I hate to say, they're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
You were saying earlier before we were recording that you grew up a UVA fan and follow the sports pretty closely. What was that like being at that level of ability, you know, as a tennis player to be able to be recruited by your personal favorite? Like, did you just go, hey, if I can join the UVA team, I know that's what I want? Or did you take your time and weigh out different options? I assume, you know, you get to know the coaches and whatnot, but what was that experience like?
I mean, honestly, I didn't even take any official visits anywhere. I took an unofficial to UVA, which really wasn't an unofficial because like my family goes there probably four times a year for football and basketball games. Mm. And, I mean, Coach Boland made me an offer and I was like, look, my entire dream has been to go to UVA and play on a team. It just so happens that you guys were, when I was being recruited, they were also number one in the country. So I was like, that's an absolute no brainer. And to be honest, I didn't get recruited by a lot of schools because, I mean, they just knew my background with my parents and my family. And I mean, yeah, I will bleed orange and blue till I die. So
that's awesome. Does that mean the rivalries with the other teams means a little more because you, as a fan of the football team, basketball team, et cetera, are you a little more like, God, North Carolina? I mean, because, you know, all real UVA fans hate UNC. And
so, as I said, I grew up on a street where there was like three or four UNC flags, a couple Duke flags, and of course my dad like flying two, three UVA flags on outside the house. So yeah, I mean, a lot of controversy for sure, and definitely feels good to beat any ACC foe. And then like one thing I'm really proud of is, or one thing I've just really enjoyed in my 4 years was going to all the other sporting events. I think I made it to every single sport in some time in my 4 years, and I'm a massive fan of every team. So
good stuff.
That's awesome. So over your career, I was just looking at some stuff. You've only got 11 losses and two of those being conference. When you get rolling like that, like how does, I just, the program has been a dynasty, obviously, like this is like super dominant. What, I guess the cheesiest question is like, what was it like to be a part of that? Like, do you feel that while it's going on, or is it now that you've kind of separated or stepped away from the university that you look back and you're like, holy shit, like we crushed it? Or is that something you're kind of aware of in the moment?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I mean, Coach Boland does a really good job of making it not about the winning and losing. I mean, at some point when you realize and you hold the trophy and then you celebrate for a few days, maybe a week, eventually that feeling subsides. So like, I think the big thing for us is just realizing how as good as winning is, you kind of realize that there's a little bit more to it. And, you know, winning the right way is really important too. So I don't know. I kind of got sidetracked from your question, but
no,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I think, yeah, we felt a lot of pressure to beat, you know, the teams we were supposed to beat and to win as much as we did. But at the same time, we trusted in one another because, you know, if you have a bad day, you know, the other team still got to get three more points. And, you know, as deep as all our teams were, we had a lot of faith in one another on each spot. So we felt pressure, but at the same time, we were confident all the time.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So being such a fan of the UVA sports as a whole, where do you see this football season headed coming off a big win that you were there for?
You're on the field.
Caroline's still convinced they're going to make a bowl game.
I mean, Kurt Benkert looked like Tom Brady 2 days ago. So.
Yeah.
I know UConn secondary isn't like the most fire secondary in the world, but I mean, Kurt looked pretty good, and yeah, it was really cool because we were on the field in that first quarter waiting to walk on the field to get recognized for last year, and we saw that when UConn threw a pick right in the end zone. We were standing in the end zone, so we got to talk a little smack. UConn,
it's awesome.
When that happened. And so yeah, I mean, a little smack is a bit of an understatement. We definitely said some things that wouldn't be okay in a lot of places. But sure. Yeah, no regrets. Definitely no regrets.
No regrets. Amazing.
I don't know. I think we could make a bowl game this year. I think we could.
All right. And the basketball team, do you see them comfortably making the tournament, challenging for ACC title potentially? Or Tony's been a little cautious in his language so far in the offseason about expectations. I mean, losing London Piranhas is a pretty big deal. What are your anticipations for the upcoming season?
Yeah. I mean, losing London hurts. Losing Malcolm a year, 2 years ago now, I think was might have been tougher, but I'm a big fan of those guys. Tony always finds a way to put us in contention, so I like the depressurization tactic by setting the expectations low, you know, to take a little pressure off the boys. But we'll be good. We'll be good. Always very fired. Can't wait to go to JPJ. Hopefully I can get some good seats.
Yeah, I feel like they should be able to get you in there.
I don't know if you guys can help me out with that, but could be a violation or two. But
we don't have good.
We'll call in some favors. So what's the plan now? Like, what do you up to now? Will you be able to get back to Charlottesville and see some games? Like, where are you? What's your story? What's the latest with you? What's next?
Yeah, so I've got about 6 more tournaments until all season. There's actually a challenger in Charlottesville the week of October 30th, so I'll be in Seville for that. That's over at the Boar's Head, so that's always like nice to be able to play a tournament at home. And then I'll be starting full-time traveling in 2018. Might head down under for the Australian Open swing and play some tournaments, and then yeah, I mean, my goal is to make Australian Open quality. So, big goal, and just got to keep working hard, and hopefully make the Hoos proud.
That's awesome. So we have one last thing before we set you free, and it's rapid fire questions. So our listeners can get to know you a little bit more. So it's fun stuff, nothing too serious. But are you ready? Are you mentally prepared for this?
Yeah, 1 sec. All right, we're good.
All right, favorite place to eat in Charlottesville?
Lampo.
Oh, Pierce is a big fan of Lampo. All right, good choice. That's not what I expected.
Wow, that was not. Those were not rapid fire questions.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I guess not technically as rapid. It's more like in succession. If you could play for Virginia in any other sport, not tennis, what and be a star, what would you choose?
Baseball.
Oh, right. Interesting. Coach you wish you could have played for that's not Boland?
If not baseball, then Tony Bennett, obviously.
It's a good choice. Let's see. What's another good one?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Is a hot dog sandwich?
definitely not.
No. Correct.
Which dining hall was your favorite?
I mean, eating at JPJ is cool because you get to see all the other cool athletes around, but actually Runk on Sundays is very fire.
Oh, wow. All right. Which teammate was the biggest prankster?
JC does ridiculous things that we can't talk about on this podcast.
Oh, no, this is an adult listening podcast.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Yeah. He's trying to be a professional adult. If you dream job outside of tennis, if you weren't playing tennis, what would you ideally be doing?
Athletic director for the UVA athletic department.
Ooh, there's an opening.
Yeah, there's an opening. Have you submitted a resume?
Yeah. I already put in my name, so it's all good.
All right, last one. If you could be any animal, which animal would you be?
Oh, any animal. Panda, very easy lifestyle.
go. All right. Yeah, that's all right. We'll take those. Those are all great answers.
All right.
So yeah, I think thank you so much for joining us. This was very exciting. We'd love to have you back and keep in touch and stay up on all of your career activities and what you're up to. But yeah, thanks for coming on. Good luck with all the future tournaments.
I appreciate it, guys. Go Hoos. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks, I go Hoos. All right, I know we want to talk a little bit more about the football season because we had a big turnaround from the I mean, I was right again. I predicted a big win, so
Maybe
I
just do that more often and they'll do it. Maybe it's
yeah,
you.
maybe it is what I think is going to happens. But Trogdon and I are perfect on the season and our predictions. And your optimism has you at 2-1, which is a great record. That's the record that the football team has. And I think we can all say it was a convincing win
Yes.
Against UConn. The deep throws right off the bat, I mean, that's such a huge difference. They weren't there against Indiana. You could take a little bit in the level of team, into consideration. IU is a much better team than UConn is, and their defensive backs were really good at playing UVA's receivers very physically. But still, UVA receivers against Indiana got some separation, and Benkert wasn't hitting them, and he
No.
was hitting them pretty much flawlessly against UConn. So, what else stood out to you besides Benkert's amazing record-breaking day?
Well, first, yeah, I absolutely agree with you there when it comes to against Indiana, like the passes just weren't even close. So it wasn't necessarily so much that Indiana secondary was shut down. I think the offensive line gave Benkert a lot of time, which was obviously indicative in or showed in his performance. But also the running game was much stronger, and they found ways to basically all of the big complaints that I had against Indiana, play calling, the inability to hit the deep throw. Like, I mean, he was just so off in Indiana and was throwing laser beams like darts against UConn. And the run game was anemic at best. They found ways to use Olamide Zaccheaus. He was all over the place. I think he had like 156 all-purpose yards when you or combined rushing, and that seems low. That's not even enough. 176 maybe. He was outstanding. They did way fewer of the passes towards the sidelines that went for nothing. They were hitting slants across the middle. They were doing the short 6-7 yard passes, getting they had 9 receivers involved. Three over, like I think you just said that, but three players with over 100 yards receiving, which is the first time. Update to the article. I'll make sure I change it. The commentators said it was the first time since 1996. I think they might have said since they had multiple receivers over 100 yards, but they've never had three. So anyway, I know
Oh,
there's
I gotcha.
questions about that in the post game on the Twitter. So it's my fault, but they definitely mentioned that on the broadcast, so I'm going to blame those guys.
That's
But
fair.
yeah, I think just in the offense looked incredible. My biggest concern from the Indiana game was the stuff I just mentioned, but the special teams issues, I think those are still going to be persisting. One of the things that might have been a little misleading with this game against UConn is we only punted it once, so there wasn't any like punt return. Like we didn't see it. Like they didn't have to do any of the things that they messed up so badly against Indiana. Obviously there were kickoffs, but UConn got a couple of solid run backs as well. So some people were concerned about penalties. I'm not so much. I think that was just a couple
The
of them were
brown
bogus.
targeting was a good call.
Yeah, that was a bad hit. That
I
he's senior, he shouldn't be doing that shit.
I tend to agree with what Bronco was saying today. He's like, you don't want to punish the guy necessarily because it wasn't some like obscene, reckless behavior. Or, it's just sort of you got to be aware of where the QB is in when you're running at him full speed. That's difficult. So that's gonna
And I
happen.
think Bronco had said before he'd been angry, not angry, but the first game last year against Richmond, when people were like, "Oh, well, there were no penalties. That's good." From a group that was used to seeing all these, extra men on the field and yada yada yada, false starts. And Bronco was saying he didn't even like having no penalties because they're not being aggressive enough. And obviously, the targeting one was a bad call, but there were some calls that I'm willing here and there to have something like that. There weren't a lot of dumb penalties in that like mental lapse penalties. There weren't a bunch of false starts or there weren't a bunch of offside, you know, whatever. One pass interference or holding or whatever, like that was uncatchable. Like, so there's a few things here and there. And then I don't know how we ended up getting a blocking call on a return that moved UConn down so far. But
Right. Yeah, that was a weird.
Brenton Nelson, I thought, was really good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He started at safety. He was fantastic. And obviously Micah Kaiser was maybe his best game for Virginia.
You know, UVA didn't return a single punt. Speaking of lack of punts, UConn kept going for it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, there was the first one was an interception. The fumble was the second one. Then they had three or four forced fourth down. Well, I guess.
Yeah.
UConn's long snapper was hurt, is apparently what the situation was. Gotcha. Which is why they didn't go for extra points on any of their touchdowns either.
Interesting. There's the scoop. And yeah. Micah Kaiser, career day, obviously. Just an unbelievable game from him. Two sacks. He's on pace to have like 40 sacks this year or something ridiculous like that. Jordan Ellis, like you said, the running game was awesome. 95 yards, a touchdown for Ellis on 20 carries. So right there, almost 5 yards a carry, which is remarkably different than the Indiana game. And certainly some of that has to do with the opponent. But I would say you're right. The offensive line was better, even though it was a worse opponent. They definitely looked better. I think they found their rotation.
Yeah. And they looked better than they did against William & Mary.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, and that's, I think, the better comparison. That's not necessarily like the straight Indiana to UConn comparison, maybe.
Right.
But even against Indiana, they did get Kurt more time. The other thing I really liked was Kurt using his feet. I think we need more designed running plays, like we talked about.
Yep.
Like, I don't want a ton. Like, I don't, like, he's not Lamar Jackson. Like, I'm not expecting, like, you know.
But
maybe
right again
without negative yardage.
Yeah, first quarter he was taking the space that the defense was giving him after rolling out. And that's exactly like what we and all the other smart people talking about UVA football were saying last week. You know, it's funny, Butts didn't have any catches.
Butts.
After having such a, you know.
He had one, I thought, no?
Not according to the box score.
I used a butt gif.
Maybe well, you know, if he... you wonder if UConn was keying on that, you know, and that space wasn't there, and that would make sense with how far we were throwing the ball down the field. They were saying, okay, don't let him have the middle. He can't hit those far throws, so let him have that, and he proved them wrong.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I think it went well. How long was the field goal? Did you have that? It was like a 30, 27 yard or something like that?
We could ask Stat Boy, but I think I can find it pretty quickly.
We had
28
yards. So, I mean, baby steps, get some confidence going.
I'm totally for it.
Yeah, you know, like that was a good sign. I think, again, my biggest concern is still going to be the return or the special teams stuff. The other thing that's a little worrisome is we've had a lot of good luck.
That tipped pass. The tip pass,
then the fumble, and recovered that.
I mean, as soon as the tip pass went, I think it was Lavroni, his hands, you went, oh, okay, we're going to win. You know, like the karma or luck or whatever, the gremlins who control.
Yeah. Well, and then we also, like, dropped the one. Side. Kurt fumbled it on the sidelines, and then Donny Dowling touched it, and he was out of bounds, so it goes back to where it was fumbled. And that was a first down.
You hope they didn't use up too much of their
kids. Yeah, but they've been having a few of those during the game. Like, they've probably had four fumbles recovered, themselves. So.
No, they've recovered every single one,
Yeah, so it's just like, good guys, come on, ball security. But I think there were definitely some really – I think it's a great momentum confidence builder. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. Short turnarounds. Flying all the way to Boise on the Smurf turf.
Friday
I think
night.
Broncos 2-2 against Boise State in his career. We got destroyed the last time we played them 2 years ago. They have the same quarterback, but he might not be playing.
He's questionable up in the air. Yeah. I wonder if that's impacted the spread. I know Boise hasn't been quite like what we're used to for Boise State. The spread's a couple scores. I would have expected it to be a little bit higher, but, you know, respecting Virginia's ability to score now, I guess that's where it is. And honestly, Virginia could cover pretty easily if the defense
continues to play well. Yeah, I think it's about right. I mean, especially after seeing, I think the defense, it was interesting listening to Coach Mendenhall's comments today because he was talking about they like to do shock and awe. They come right out the gate. They'll hit you in the mouth early. And try and just kind of get you on your heels. And it's just, it'll be interesting to see how the defense responds in that first series, in the second series, like if they can kind of get some momentum again. And I think the losing Tim Harris is going to be tough throughout the entire year, especially if there's any more injuries, which hopefully not. Mm-hmm. The other really interesting point from the press conference today was saying that because Jordan Mack is playing so well, teams can no longer just try to avoid Micah Kizer.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be something that teams were doing where they're like, they know this guy has led the ACC the last 2 years in tackles. Like, he's ridiculously good. But having someone who's playing as well as Jordan Mack is really balances out the defense. And then having the guys that are stepping up in the safety position let me make sure I get all these right. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, correct me, but having the guy step up in the safety position for Tim Harris really frees up Quinn Blanding to be better, I think, at his position, because he did better when he was balanced out with Ant Harris.
And he's never going to be the great coverage safety, so the less he has to worry about that, the more he can do what he does great, which is basically everything else.
He's all over the place. I think several of them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Looking around the ACC, I would say real quick, Pitt, worse than we thought. Carolina, iffy, probably worse than we thought.
Yeah.
Duke, better than we thought.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, better than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, that's the coastal. We haven't seen Miami, so, you know.
Yeah, they both played Georgia once.
Tech also had a postponed game.
And so. Should Louisville,
where they suck up.
Yeah, obviously Lamar Jackson is incredible, but I think it's becoming increasingly clear that he is more of a one-man show this year.
Clemson's really, really
as a kid from Carolina said, absolutely, Clemson is insane. As the defensive player from Carolina said, like, we're just going to take away whatever he wants to do. Like, you don't take away really what Lamar Jackson wants to do. He was basically trying to one-man carry them against Clemson. So
right.
It'll be interesting. I think that'll be an interesting game. I absolutely 100% agree with Pitt. I think Boston College is worse or about what we thought. So I'm not giving up hope yet. On my bowl prediction. I might stick to 6-6. Maybe we won't win against Tech, but we'll see. But yeah, I think where I thought we would have lost against Pitt, I think that's looking more like a should win. I like that Duke is at home this year. And after a bye week, that's
incredible. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I don't know. Last year, the bye week was the last time we won any games. Because it came after the Duke game last year. But, I mean, you look at this year, and Kurt Benkert said it best after the last game. Like, this time last year, they were 0-3. So, 2-1 with a little momentum. Like, it's already matched all their...
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know... expectations for Boise aren't going to be a W, and hopefully they play well. You know, there's a chance they could win. I'm not. You haven't mainlined any optimism into believing that they're going to get a victory.
No, I think that they can. I would not be surprised if they pulled off an upset. I'm not expecting a win.
Okay.
I think that if they play like they did on Saturday. And there's a few, depending on who Boise State starts a quarterback, like whatever. There's a few up-in-the-air things. But Kurt looked great. Like, he had 3 touchdown passes, all of which were over 20 yards.
Sure. If he keeps it up, they can definitely stay in the game. And if you stay in the game, you can win.
The bigger shocker was the fact that of all of the outstanding, not all of the outstanding quarterbacks, but there have been some good quarterbacks who played UVA. You're telling me none of them have passed for more than 420 yards before? Matt Schaub never had a 420-yard passing game?
Matt Schaub, I know, complaining about UVA quarterbacks and picking on Schaub is ridiculous compared to everyone who's been after him. But Schaub... was so dependent on the awesome skill positions around him, including a lot of games where he just threw it on like a Texas route to any of the, you know, Pierman or Lundy or whoever, yeah. They took it 40 yards, you know? Yeah. It's like, so I never was sold on Chubb in the annals of UVA history as the, like, knock it down the field kind of QB.
That's true.
And again, I fully recognize that he's the best quarterback we've had since I've been alive. Well, okay, I was alive for Sean Moore, so anyway.
That's true. Like, Chubb did have the running backs you mentioned, and obviously there's a lot of reliance on the tight ends.
That game that Benkert threw looked up there with anything I've ever seen.
He was 30 for 40 and 75%. Some of the passes that he was lacing in there, he threw a couple where you're like, bleh. Obviously at his first interception, like, whatever, it is what it is. It's encouraging. Like, if that's what, the best part is he seems confident. The team seems like they're – and Bronco still talks about it, and it's a huge issue. Like,
he said he had a Red Bull before the game, and that was the difference. So
someone tweeted, it gives you wins.
Keep giving him
– I love it.
Chemicals.
And Sibley's like, you can't drink this. limits on how many energy drinks you could have in the Navy. They didn't want you, loading up on monsters and then going on – combat missions.
Well, because you're stuck in a boat, so there's no, you'd just be like running around in circles. There's no way to burn off all that energy.
Yeah. Well, they have like a treadmill on the ship.
Oh, okay.
Like, on the plane. I don't know if it's the same on the ships, but for air crew, we couldn't, there was a certain amount we were recommended to have, and it was always followed, if you're listening out there, Navy people.
The more you know.
Seems
like a great stopping point for us tonight. Tune the Who's Friday night. I don't know what channel it's on. Have a post about it on streakinglawn.com.
We will, but it's
where you can find where to watch the game. It'll be basketball season very soon, but it's nice when the football team does well because we don't have to be desperate about it. And it's also
Saturday
nice.
Saturday was fun.
I was going to say, I didn't read anybody on the internet saying it was time to play Lindell Stone, which was one of the dumber things I had read in a long time.
In garbage time. They're like,
oh, well, that's not that dumb. I disagree. I think it's good to keep the red shirt.
I don't know if you can. Bronco's going to play him.
And yeah,
today,
that'll be interesting.
It sounded like he's trying to keep the red shirt intact as long
as he might as well. I mean, I get the idea that you want him to have game experience in case he needs to do it in a critical moment, but this isn't a team that's going to, you know, be challenging for championships, most likely.
Not with that attitude.
Well, yeah, so there's no – the worth of that compared to the worth of him having a potential fifth year.
For sure.
I don't think there's any sense in playing him unless you have to. But I don't think it's stupid to the other side of that argument. Unlike the, well, it's time to give up on Benkert argument, after NYU game, which was idiotic, and I told you they're going to lose. So everybody should just listen to me, and then they have the right expectations.
Yeah, why don't you just start predicting more wins then, Pierce? That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Not this week, but maybe. They certainly could. Let's see how it goes. And
that's why we play the game.
Exactly. And stay tuned to streakinglalon.com, as Trogdon would say, for all your pre-Boise, post-Boise coverage. Until next week, I'm Pierce for Caroline and the rest of us here at the blog. Thanks for listening. Go Hoos.
Go Hoos.